Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem by Avraham Goldar, and today we're Zichu Yuma Daf Chav Tes, the third parak, Amar Lahem Amamuna. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Rav Nachman made several statements and included a siman for each one. Two of the statements are, Yihuri Averi Kashime Avera, V'simanech Recha De Bisra. Thoughts of sin are worse than sin, and the siman is the aroma of roasting meat. Rashi explains that the smell of roasting meat is very disturbing to someone who can't eat it. The second statement is Migmar ba'atikata kash mechadasa v'simanech tina bartina. Relearning old, forgotten material is harder than acquiring new knowledge. And the siman is cement made from old cement. Rashi explains that it's hard to make cement by crumbling and reconstituting an old cement wall than by crumbling fresh dirt. Point number two, Rav Asi said, Lama nimshalo Esther l'shachar? Why is Esther compared with the morning? Rashi brings the Gemara Megillah that Esther said the capital of Lamnetzeach al Ayelas l'shachar for the conductor about the morning hine when she reached the chamber of idols to speak to Achashverosh. Womrocha, mash shachar, sof kol laila, af Esther, sof kol hanisim. To tell you that just as the morning is the end of the entire night, so too the redemption wrought by Esther is the end of all the miracles. When the Gemara asks about the miracle of Hanukkah that occurred after Purim, the Gemara answers, nitna lichtov ka'amrina. We meant to say that Purim is the last miracle allowed to be recorded as part of Tanakh. And point number three, the Mishnah had taught that an animal offering that was shechted at night was invalid and required burning. The father of Rabbi Avin taught a brisa that said, Af malikas ha'of u'kamitzas mincha b'layla tesaref. Also the malika of a bird or the kamitz of a mincha that was performed at night must be burned. Now the Gemara asks that while it's understandable that a birdle that was nipped at night must be burned because it had already been nipped and therefore there's no way to reverse the process, why should the kometz be burned? Let the kohen return the flour to the pan containing the rest of the mincha, and then take a new kometz at daytime. Rabbi Avin's father stated the explanation. Kli sharis mekadshin afilu shelo bezmano. A kli sharis consecrates an offering even not at its proper time. Therefore, once the kometz was placed in the kli sharis, even at night, it can no longer be returned to the rest of the mincha. When Rabbi Avin's teaching is challenged based on a braisa that teaches that anything offered by day is sanctified by day, but not at night, the Gemara answers that the kometz is not sanctified regarding being able to offer it, but it's sanctified enough to become invalid. The Gemara further clarifies that the Tana of the Braisa holds Laila ein mechusar zman, that the time frame of night doesn't render something premature, since the night begins the day in Jewish law, whereas Yom mechusar zman, the time frame of day, does render something premature if it's to be done the following day. So once again, the three topics are number one. Rav Nachman made several statements and included a siman for each one. Two of the statements are, Yihuri Avera Kashu Me Avera V'simanech Recha De Bisra. Thoughts of sin are worse than sin. And the siman is the aroma of roasting meat. Rashi explains that the smell of roasting meat is very disturbing to someone who can't eat it. And the second statement is, Migmar Ba'atikata Kash Mechadasa V'simanech Tina Bartina. Relearning old forgotten material is harder than acquiring new knowledge. And the siman is cement made from old cement. Rashi explains that it's hard to make cement by crumbling and reconstituting an old cement wall than by crumbling fresh dirt. Point number two, Rav Asi said, Lama nimshala Esther l'shachar? Why is Esther compared with the morning? Rashi brings the Gemara Megillah that Esther said the capital of Lamnetzeach al Ayelas l'shachar for the conductor about the morning hine when she reached the chamber of idols to speak to Achashverosh. Womer ochamash shachar sovko laila af Esther sovko hanisim. To tell you that just as the morning is the end of the entire night, so too the redemption wrought by Esther is the end of all the miracles. When the Gemara asks about the miracle of Hanukkah that occurred after Purim, the Gemara answers, Nitna lichtov ka'amrina. We meant to say that Purim is the last miracle allowed to be recorded as part of Tanakh. And point number three, the Mishnah had taught that an animal offering that was shechted at night was invalid and required burning. The father of Rabbi Avin taught a braisa that said, Af malika sa'of u'kamitzas mincha b'layo tisarev. Also the malika of a bird or the kamitz of a mincha that was performed at night must be burned. The Gemara asks that while it's understandable that a birdle that was nipped at night must be burned because it had already been nipped and therefore there's no way to reverse the process, why should the kometz be burned? Let the kohen return the flour to the pan containing the rest of the mincha and then take a new kometz at daytime. Rabbi Avin's father stated the explanation, Kli sharis mekadshin afilu shelo bezmano. A kli sharis consecrates an offering even not at its proper time. Therefore, once the kometz was placed in the kli sharis, even at night, it can no longer be returned to the rest of the mincha. Now, when Rabbi Avin's teaching is challenged based on a braisa that teaches that anything offered by day is sanctified by day, but not at night, the Gemara answers that the kometz is not sanctified regarding being able to offer it, but it's sanctified enough to become invalid. The Gemara further clarifies that the Tana of the Braisa holds Laila ein mechusar zman, that the time frame of night doesn't render something premature, since the night begins the day in Jewish law, whereas Yom mechusar zman. The time frame of day does render something premature if it's to be done the following day. All right, so now we go to Simur Dav Chav Tes, and our standard simon is a cot. A cot. So here goes. The princess lying on the cot, surrounded by meat roasting on broken pieces of cement, woke up in the morning and saw the kamitza she did at night being burned up as well. Once again, in slow motion. The princess lying on the cot, that must be one Dav Chav Tes. The princess lying on the cot, surrounded by meat roasting on broken pieces of cement, which reminds us, Rav Nachman made several statements and included a sim for each one. Two of them were, Yihuri aver kashume avera, v'simanech recha debisra, thoughts of sin are worse than sin, and the simon is the aroma of roasting meat. Rashi explains that the smell of roasting meat is very disturbing to someone who can't eat it. And the second statement was, migmar ba'atikata kashume chadasa, v'simanech tina bartina. Relearning old forgotten material is harder than acquiring new knowledge. And the simon is cement made from old cement. While she explains that it's hard to make cement by crumbling and reconstituting an old cement wall than by crumbling fresh dirt. So the princess lying on the cot surrounded by meat, roasting on broken pieces of cement, woke up in the morning. Which reminds us, Rav Asi said, Laman nimshal Esther l'shachar. Why is Esther compared with the morning? Rashi brings the Gemara Megillah that Esther said the kapitel of Lamnatzeach al Ayelus HaShachar when she reached the chamber of idols to speak to Achashverosh. Lomar Ocham HaShachar Sof Kol Laila Af Esther Sof Kol Nisim. To tell you that just as the morning is the end of the entire night, so too the redemption wrought by Esther is the end of all the miracles. When Gemara asks, well, what about the miracle of Hanukkah that occurred after Purim? Nit na lichtov kamrin. We meant to say that Purim is the last miracle allowed to be recorded as part of Tanakh. So the princess lying on the cot surrounded by meat, roasting on broken pieces of cement, woke up in the morning and saw the kamitza she did at night being burned up as well. Which reminds the Mishnah taught that an animal offering that was shechted at night was invalid and required burning. The father of Rabbi Avin taught a braisa that said, also the malika of a bird or the kamitza of a mincha that was performed at night must be burned. The Gemara asks, well, it's understandable that a bird ola that was nipped at night must be burned because it's already been nipped and therefore there's no way to reverse the process. Why should the kometz be burned? Let the kohen return the flour to the pan containing the rest of the mincha and then take a new kometz at daytime. Rabbi Avin's father explained, Klishar is mekadshin afil shul bezmano. A klishar is consecrates an offering even not at its proper time. Therefore, once the kometz was placed in the klishares, even at night, it can no longer be returned to the rest of the mincha. When this teaching is challenged based on the braisa that teaches that anything offered by day is sanctified by day but not at night, the Gemara answers that the kometz is not sanctified regarding being able to offer it, but it's sanctified enough to become invalid. The Gemara further clarifies that the Tana of the Braisa holds Laila ein mechusar zman, that the time frame of night doesn't render something premature, since the night begins the day in Jewish law, whereas Yom mechusar zman, the time frame of day, does render something premature if it's to be done the following day. So once again, the princess lying on the cot, surrounded by meat roasting on broken pieces of cement, woke up in the morning and saw the kamitza she did at night being burned up as well. All right, now it's time for a four blot back chazar. Daf Chaf Hei. So the Simur Chaf Hei is a silver anniversary. So here goes. This silver anniversary dinner, that must be more Daf Chaf Hei. This silver anniversary dinner was a disaster when the husband and wife were seated in different halves of the restaurant. Which reminds us, a braisa describes how the lots were cast in the Lushkas of Gazis. The lots were cast on the eastern side, and the Zakin, referring to a member of the Sanhedrin who instructed them in the procedure of the pious, sat on the western side. So Abai said, we can learn from this braisa that Lushkas of Gazis, chetzi bekodesh vechetzi bechol. Half of it was in the consecrated space of the Azor, and half of it was in the unconsecrated space outside the Azor. For if it was complete in the Kodesh space, how could the Zakin sit in the western side? For it said, Ein yeshiva bazar, ela malchus beis David bilvad. Sitting in the Azor is not permitted except for the kings from malchus beis David. And if you should say that the entire Lushka was in the chol space outside the Azor, how can the braisa state that the lots were cast in the eastern side? We require manifestation of the pasuk in the house of God. We walk with excitement, and that would not be the case if we're outside the Azor. Therefore, it must be that the Lushka was half in the Kodesh and half in the Chol. So, the silver anniversary dinner was a disaster when the husband and wife were seated in different halves of the restaurant. And then the overly eager waiter brought a near-empty glass of wine to the table, which reminds us, the second Mishnah lists the people involved in bringing the tamid, but doesn't list who is makabel the dumb from the Shechita before the Zrika. The Gemara asks if we say that the Shochet is makabel, because if we say the Zork is makabel, perhaps out of his passion to do the Zrika, he may not receive all the blood. Rashi explains that later we'll learn that all the blood should be received. Or perhaps we'll say that one who does the Zrika receives it, because if the shochet receives it, he can't always do it because there are times when a zar shechs the animal. The Gemara brings a proof that the zorek is mekabel the dam from the fact that Ben Katan made 12 spouts for the kiur so that the 12 kohanim involved in the tummy can sanctify the hands and feet at the same time. If the one who shechs it is mekabel the dam, then there would be 13 kohanim, not 12. So the silver anniversary dinner was a disaster when the husband and wife were seated in different halves of the restaurant. And then the overly eager waiter brought a near-empty glass of wine to the table and served the wife a plate of cooked tail first. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings a brice that teaches a four-way machlokas regarding the order in which the parts of the tummy are brought to the mizbeach. All agree the head is first. The Tana Kama, who's Ben Azai, says it's brought the way it walks from front to back. Rabbi Yossi says it's offered in the order in which it's skinned from rear to front. Rabbi Kiva says it's offered in the order that it's dismembered. And Rabbi Yossi Aglili says it's offered in the order of its quality. The Tana Kama of our Mishnah holds like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, except that he judges quality by the limb with the most meat. Rabbi Yossi Aglili goes by the fattiness of the meat. Dav Chavav. So the Simmer Dav Chavav is a military coup. So here goes. The military coup, that must be more Dav Chavav. The military coup to steal the wealth-producing incense altar failed miserably, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that before the third pious, the following announcement is made. Chadashim HaKetores, Bav Vafis, for those gone who are new to the avoda of offering the Ketores, come and cast lots. The Gemara brings a brice that teaches that a person never repeated it, meaning that no one ever offered the Ketores more than once. Rechina said the reason is, Mipnei Shema Asher, it's because it brings prosperity to those who perform it. Or she explains that because it made someone wealthy, it didn't allow one to do it twice. Even though the Oz mentioned the same pasuk as the Ketores, when the pasuk speaks of making someone wealthy, it's referring to an infrequent avoda, for otherwise all Kohanim would be rich. So the military coup to steal the wealth-producing incense altar failed miserably. When they couldn't make it through the multitudes of Kohanim, bring the limbs up from the ramp to the Mizbeach, which reminds the Mishnah stated that the fourth pious is for a new Kohanim together with the old ones, and determines who brings the limbs up from the ramp to the Mizbeach. The Gemara notes that our Mishnah is not going with the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who is taught in the Mishnah and Tamid. The Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says that the one who brings the lamps up onto the ramp is the one who brings them up onto the Mizbeach. The Gemara explains that our Tana maintains that it's preferable to have a larger number of Kohanim participating, because it's stated by Rov Am Hadras Melech, with the multitude of people is the glory of the king. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds that Kohanim who carry the limbs to the ramp should finish the job by taking them to the Mizbech, because in the place of the Shechina it's not proper conduct to give the impression that a job is too troublesome to finish. So the military coup to steal the wealth-producing incense altar failed miserably. When they couldn't make it through the multitudes of Kohanim, bringing the limbs up from the ramp to the Mizbech, and the two Kohanim carrying the wood. Which reminds us, it was taught in a brice where Bishim Bar Yochai says that from where do I know regarding the afternoon tummy that requires two blocks of wood carried by two Kohanim to the Marach on the Mizbeach, the Torah states, Va'archu Eitzim, and the sons of Aaron shall place the fire on the Mizbeach, and they shall arrange wood on the fire. Since this phrase Va'archu has no application in the morning tummy, for it's already written there, then applied to the afternoon tummy. Since the Pasuk is written in plural, Va'archu, we derive that two Kohanim are required. Dav Chav Zayin, so the Simmer Dav Chav Zayin is a kazoo. A kazoo, so here goes. The children who joyously blew their kazoos, that must mean we're on Dav Chav Zayin. The children who joyously blew their kazoos when they saw their non-kohen tati skin and dismember an offering, which reminds the Gemara brings a brice on the bottom Dav Chav Vav Amud Beis that teaches regarding a personal offering, Hebshetim B'nituch and Shavim B'zar. Their skinning and dismemberment are equal in that they may be performed by a zar. Chizki brings initial source of this ruling, but it's refuted, and after several attempts to identify the source, the Gemara concludes that it's from the following pasuk concerning the burning of the limbs of an ola, the hikter akon es hakol, and the kohen shall cause it all to go up in smoke. What does the superfluous mention of a kohen come to teach? Lamute hepshe benituch, to exclude flaying and dismemberment from the requirement to have a kohen perform it. So the children who joyously blew their kazoos when they saw their non-kohen tati, skin and dismember an offering, were hushed by six kohanim carrying parts of the tamid, which reminds the Gemara expounds the following pasuk regarding the ola offering. Varchu b'nei Aaron ha-Kohanim, they shall arrange the sons of Aaron the Kohanim, they shall arrange implies to, the sons of Aaron implies to, Kohanim implies to, l'madnu l'tchel shetaon shishu, we learn from this that the sheep of the Tamid requires six Kohanim to bring its parts to the ramp. Rabbi Elazar was bothered by the following difficulty. The above pasuk is discussing the old offering brought from cattle, which requires 24 Kohanim to carry their parts. Rabbi Elazar then resolved the difficulty himself, that the pasuk concludes, ala eitzim etsha ala eish asha ala ha-mizbeach, on the wood that's on the fire that's on the Mizbeach. Since these words are superfluous, since the previous pasuk mentioned them as well, they must come to teach regarding a matter where they play a significant role. This must be a reference to the sheep of the Tamid, Rashi explains that even if the previous day's arrangement is still burning, a new arrangement must be made for the tummy. So the children who joyously blew their kazoos when they saw their non-Kohen Tati skin and dismember an offering were hushed by six Kohanim carrying parts of the tummy, who heard them all night blowing when their father put wood on the maracha. Which reminds us, Rabbi Zer objected to a ruling said in the name of Yochanan, that Zar Shesidr as a maracha chayev, a non-Kohen arranged the wood on the maracha is chayev, referring to Misbidei Shemayim. Rabbi Zera said, do you ever find an avoda that's valid if it's performed at night and yet it's invalid if it's performed by a czar? Since the arrangement of the wood on the maracha can be done at night, it should not require a kohen. The Gemara objects to Rabbi Zera's assumption because of two reasons, and each one is refuted. The Gemara concedes that Rabbi Zera's assumption stands and amends Rabbi Yochanan's statement to Zar Shesidr Shnei Gezirei Eitzim Chayev, a non-kohen who arranged the two blocks of wood on the maracha is chayev, referring to Misbidei Shemayim, due to it being a daytime avoda. Daf Chav Ches, so the symbol of Chav Ches is a strong man, Koach. So here goes. The strong man, that must be more Daf Chav Ches. The strong man who stood on the roof to see if dawn had arrived, which reminds us, the opening mission of the third parak states, Amar Lema Mamuna, the administrator, which Rashi defines as a skunk Kohen Gadol, says to the assembled Kohanim to go and see if the time of the Shkita for the morning Tamin had arrived. If it had arrived, the observer would say, Barkai, dawn. Masi ben Shmuel says, Here, Pnei Kohen Mizrach, the eastern sky has lit up. He would then be asked, Ad Shebe Chevron, as far as Chevron, and he says, yes. Why was this necessary? Because one time, the moon's light rose over the horizon close to morning, and they thought the east had lit up from the sun. And so they shechted the tamid, behotzi'u, abesis reifa, but then had to take it out to the place of burning. So the strong man who stood on the roof to see if dawn had arrived saw an elder in yeshiva tell his loyal servant, which reminds us, Rabbi Chama Rabbi Chanina said, Miyamein Shal Vaseinu Aparshi Yeshiva Man, from the days of our forefathers, yeshivas did not depart from them. He learns from the presence of the Zakenim, of the elders in Mitzrayim in the Midbar, that yeshivas were present there. He continues that Avram Avinu was an elder sitting yeshiva, as it says, Avram Zaken Babi Yamim, Avram was a Zaken well on in years. And Psukim were also brought to prove that Yitzhak and Yaakov were also elders who sat in yeshivas. And Eliezer, the Eved Avram, was also a Zaken sitting in yeshiva, as it's written, Yomer Avram El Avdo, Zaken Beiso HaMoshe B'Kol HaShelo. Avram said to his servant, the elder of his household, who controlled all that was his. Rabbi Elazar expanded the end of the pasuk of Moshe b'Kol Shelo, who controlled all that was his, to mean Shemoshe b'Torah's Rabbo, that Eliezer had dominion over the Torah of his master. He also interprets the words Hu Domestic Eliezer to mean Shado Umashkim b'Torah Shel Rabbo L'Acherim, that Eliezer drew from the Torah of his master and gave it to others to drink. Rashi explains that the word domestic is an anacronym of the words Dola Umashke, he draws and gives to drink. So the strong man who stood on the roof to see if dawn had arrived saw an elder in yeshiva tell his loyal servant to set up an Erev Tavshilin, which reminds us. Rav said, Kim Avram Avinu Kol HaTorah Kula, Avram Avinu fulfilled the entire Torah, as it says, Ekev Asher Shama Avram Avakoli, Bishmar Bishmarti, Mitzvosai Chukosai Vesorosai, because Avram obeyed my voice and observed my safeguards, my commandments, my statutes, my laws. Rav said, and some say it was Ravashi, Kim Avram Avinu Afil Eruv Tavshilin, Avram Avinu fulfilled even the Rabbanan of Eruv Tavshilin, as is written the Pasuk Torah Sai, my laws, in the plural. Achas Torah Shebiksav, the Achas Torah Shebalpeh, which indicates both the written law and the oral law. All right, now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from previous Masechtas. Number 1. We shall have to learn that a czar is permitted to arrange wood on the maracha since an avoda done at night can be done by a czar. That's on Daf Chav Zayin. Good. Number 2. Which Daf do we learn that relearning forgotten material is like making cement from broken pieces of cement? That's on Daf Chav Tes. Good. Number 3. Which something that the Avos learned in yeshivas as well as Eliezer, Eved Avram? That's on Daf Chav Ches. Good. Number 4. Which Daf do we have a brisa that taught a four-way machlokes regarding the order of the parts of the Talmud were brought to the Mizbeach? That's on Daf Chav Hey. Good. Number 5. Which Daf do we learn that a kmitzah that was done at night is burned and cannot be returned to the flower because the klisharis was Mekadoshet? That's on Daf Chav Tes. Good. Number 6. Which daf do we learn that 6 Kohanim bring the parts of the Tamid up to the ramp? That's on Daf Chav Zayin. Good. Number 7. Which daf do we learn that Avram Avinu kept the entire Torah, even the Rabbanan, such as Eruv Tavshilin? That's on Daf Chav Ches. Good. Number 8. Which daf do we learn that Kohanim were only permitted to bring the Torahs once, since it makes them wealthy? That's on Daf Chav Vav. Good. Number 9. Which daf do we learn the shear for removing the ash for the Trumas Adeshin is a kometz? That's on Daf Chavdalad. Good. Number 10, which stuff did we learn that Esther is compared to the Shachar? Because just like the morning is the end of the night, she was Sof Kol HaNisim. That's on Daf. Chavtes. Great. Now the three bonus questions. Number 1, which stuff did we learn that the Gula will come if we keep two Shabbosim Kihochasa? That's on Daf. Kufiyot Ches and Shabbos. Good. Number 2, which stuff did we learn if one finds Chametz on Pesach, he should cover with a Kli, which is not necessary if one finds Chametz from Hekdesh? That's on Daf. Vavim Sachim. Good. And number 3, which daf do we have a Makos Beisham Beisila, what one does with the excess coins that had accumulated for the Maksis of Shekel? That's on Daf. Vavim Shkalim. Excellent. All right, that concludes the pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avram Golden Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.